So I'll say this to all company owners, if you really care about the maintenance technician and you really care about their career longevity in your company, mm-hmm. take some time out to personally reach out to them by email and hold a forum where all the owners will be there and all the techs will be there, yeah. and have open dialogue. Ask questions, what can we do to make your life better, mm-hmm. serving us and fulfilling the goals that we have in mind for our company? That is a great start. That's a great start. Let's go. What's going on, everyone? Hope you had a great day. Hope you're having a great week. I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited to be here. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm Fred. And today we have a really special episode for you guys today.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk about which ladder do you climb?
Yeah.
We're going to be exploring the career growth and paths of property management.
Yes, sir.
So specifically, where can you go in your career if you're a maintenance tech versus a leasing agent? So let's start with some misunderstandings about which roles have more opportunity in today, how we're going to break those down.
Yes, sir. Before we go into breaking it down, mm-hmm. people need to know that there is a lot of misunderstanding about which roles offers more opportunity. And that's the reason for this episode, is so we can break it down and give them a better understanding of the opportunities for the leasing office role, starting from a leasing agent, going up the ladder, mm-hmm. versus a maintenance tech and how far he can climb.
All right. So let's get into the road ahead about what the path is. Everybody knows that the leasing path is pretty well known.
Yeah.
They start from leasing agent, going all the way up from senior leasing agent, assistant property manager, regional manager, and then so on further up the corporate ladder. I mean, they can climb pretty high in that structure, but for maintenance, it's a little different.
Yeah, it is a little murkier for maintenance because you got a tech one, mm-hmm. at some properties. You have a tech two. Maybe you have a lead tech. You have a supervisor. I know a few years back they used to have assistant supervisors, mm-hmm. but I don't know if that role still exists.
Yeah.
And from that you have the regional maintenance manager. And that's as far as it goes.
And that's not even a pretty big role, because that role typically doesn't go to a lot of people, and a lot of companies usually don't have it from our experience.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot about the roles that each guy plays and how they play into taking care of the maintenance sector. So just get into like what we've seen in our careers, and watching like even people around us grow and even us grow, and how we've seen how far a person can go in that corporate chain.
Yeah. Well, like you say, for the leasing agent, they can go from a leasing agent to a senior leasing agent, mm-hmm. and they can go to an assistant property manager, then manager,
right?
Then RPM and so forth. Right.
Right.
For maintenance tech, the path is not as smooth as it is for the leasing agent. Mm-hmm. And also we have a cap on how far we can grow career-wise, right? And a lot of maintenance technician, with growth comes more financial opportunity, right?
Absolutely.
Higher pay equals a promotion, right? So what most technicians would do to try to make up for the gap that is missing in the maintenance role, they would bounce around to different properties, right? So if they're working at property A and property A is paying them $18 an hour, mm-hmm. they would stay there for a few months and they would just keep shopping around. And they might discover another property that's paying them $20 an hour.
Yeah.
So they would bounce from property to property, just chasing after the dollar, you know?
But isn't that kind of like just, in my opinion, messed up? Like, you have to keep bouncing around from property to property and you're not making the money that you want to make and your career growth isn't the same. Because like you can go from maintenance tech and then go to this property, make another $2-3 more maintenance tech. And then now it's time for you to move up. You're a supervisor now. Like, where do you go from that supervisor position? You can't go from a supervisor to a property manager. You can't go from a supervisor to a assistant property manager or even a regional.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think that is capped at the maintenance supervisor level? Like, even you mentioned the director of maintenance, and that's usually in most of the companies that we work for, it's like one. One company I worked for, they had their own section, and you would have to work out of Texas to mm-hmm. be a part of that. But they still would cap it, you know what I mean? So even with the guys that have it, they have to move around to the next section mm-hmm. or even have to move out of the city that they're in to get that role. But then that role, people are in it for so long. So it's hard for you to get there. So I don't understand why there's no real growth path, because from our experience, like regionals, like how many regionals do they have in one city?
That's a good point, because for the property management side, right?
Right.
You have, okay, let's say right here in Atlanta, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have, let's say you have 50 different, you know, apartment properties, right?
Right.
Different companies own the units, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the 50 properties total, you will probably have 20 RPMs
right.
within the same vicinity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a RPM get two properties, one get two properties, some might get one property, this person get that property. And for the regional maintenance supervisor, you just have one to cover all 50 properties.
Right.
And and on the leasing agent side, or on the front office side, I should say, or corporate side, you have 50 properties, but you have like 10 different RPMs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is unfair, because for the maintenance side, it feels like the career growth that they created, they were looking at a hamster's wheel and be like, oh, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And they create a hamster wheel career for the maintenance side, because even when you get up to a regional maintenance manager,
mm-hmm.
honestly, that is just a glorified supervisor.
Yeah.
You are still a supervisor doing the same thing that a supervisor does, which is maintenance work and some clerical work, some administrative work, right?
Yeah.
And you're just in the hamster's wheel, just going around and around and around, and there's no way out. There is no path to climb higher. But on the front office side, there's path to climb higher and advance your career.
Which is, I think that's messed up, because uh-huh. every person in this industry wants to grow. Every person in the industry, you know me, I'm always going to get back to the money side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a regional and they're making, you know, over 90 to 100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And you got a property manager that's, you know, pulling the same thing as well, because mm-hmm. property managers do make good money. Your supervisor only makes 65, maybe 75, not mm-hmm. even pushing 80. So even for him to be stuck at that same position, running a department, running a team, taking care of the property, and he's still making that much money. And on top of that, as a supervisor, they're always on call as well. That's the only position where you're in a management position where you have to be on call too, which I think is bananas.
But a property manager don't work on calls.
Work on weekends.
They don't do on calls, but they do weekends.
Yeah.
They don't work weekends, but the supervisor has to work weekends.
That
Why
part.
Is that? Because that is something that needs to be addressed.
Because, you know, supervisors are just, they look at maintenance like they are the bottom of the totem pole, like we've always said in the previous episode. So now, of course, Mike, you know, I'm always going to go back to the money. So let's talk about the opportunities about maintenance tech starting at that 2025. Mm-hmm. But that pay can kind of plateau unless you specialize or whatever your specialize is, it always isn't rewarded. And the typical comparisons of salaries and bonuses like we just got into is not even close to what a tech could be making versus what a supervisor could be making. Mm-hmm. We know leasing agents don't make that much typically, unless they're getting leases. So they get kind of that bonus and then they get the renewals and stuff like that.
Right.
That's where they usually make their money.
Yeah.
So I think that prompts me to ask, like, have you ever asked for, like, in your position, have you ever asked for, like, any specialized training that can support to say, hey, I want to specialize more in this so that way I can make some money? And has it ever been denied? Or have you ever just even brought up, like, hey, is there anything I can do to better my skills so that way I can make more money? Because, like, the last episode we talked about where a maintenance is skill trade in, like, different trades.
Right.
How do we break that cycle and say, hey, this is what we know. How do we make that money?
That's a great question. I have not asked to ask, let's say, my supervisor or property manager, like, hey, what kind of training can I get to advance to the next level?
Right.
Because in the maintenance book, the maintenance handbook, and also the training that we get from, what is it that we use? Workday?
Mm-hmm. Workday.
Right. So the training for Workday applies to maintenance tech, it applies to supervisor, right? And the training is not designed to give you career growth. Mm-hmm. Even though they give you a short survey at the beginning of every year, like, hey, where do you want to advance your career? Like, how far do you want to go this year? What do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself in the next 6 months or 7 months? And you would say, regional maintenance manager. But you know that's not going to happen because there's only one role.
Right.
And there's one regional maintenance manager covering every property, right? They should create opportunities where you have assistant maintenance regional.
Okay, but now that you're saying that just sparked a question in my head too. Also, so you go on a work day, right? And we're looking at the things that we need to do on work day as far as training. Do you think that you can use that to your potential to kind of cross over out of maintenance just by the stuff that they're giving you on workday, because most of that stuff is geared towards the front of the house of, like, leasing agents and the systems and softwares that they're using, and you're getting the training through there. Do you think it's possible if you was to complete all of those courses that you can gain that skill and say, hey, I want to be a property manager now? Do you think they would give it to you?
No, they wouldn't.
Why not?
They wouldn't. Because maintenance technicians and supervisors, they are not seen as professional.
So you,
in
so
the like, eyes of a lot.
So
in,
even if they went through all that training, you mean to tell me they're still not qualified in the eyes of the superiors?
No, it's they're cold, not qualified, bro. Because if cold, they want to, if they want to be a property manager,
that's cold, bro.
Yeah, that cold, communication, bro.
That's cold, bro.
But if you want to be a property manager, right, bro, you have to start all over from a leasing agent,
right,
and work your way all the way up to the property manager, and that's going to take some years. And I think they shouldn't allow you to start over because you've already been in the industry and you have an understanding of how both sides of the industry work.
Right.
So they should give you a shot and just teach you as you go.
But even their career growth is pretty fast.
It's pretty fast for the
property that I was at for 5 years, right?
Yeah.
They had leasing agents come in. They went in within a year or two, they were already assistant property managers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to technically start over and go to a leasing agent, which you're making more money as a maintenance technician more than a leasing agent, then now you have to take a pay decrease in order to move back up the ladder. Kind of messes that.
Because they're going to be like, first of all, they're going to say, well, you know, we all use Workday, but if you want to come on this side of the aisle, mm-hmm. then have you used a Yardi before or have you used like, no?
Yeah. So they basically want, they want you to have some on hands training or in the field training, basically, of as walking in the leasing agent shoes and doing what they do from day in to day out.
Yeah.
And then moving your way up from there.
Yes, sir.
Damn. I really don't think that's even close to growth for a maintenance technician. Like, why would you want to start all the way over and then climb another ladder once you put years and knowledge into even training yourself on appliances, training yourself on electrical, training yourself on situations? I think that's BS. And then for me to become a property, not a property manager, but a maintenance supervisor, now I don't have any other aspirations to do anything else except for the regional director, which is always one person.
The one person.
Over right. the whole maintenance.
Yeah.
Bro.
The only way you can grow, you have to step outside of the apartment industry and go into construction.
And but that's the whole reason why I advocate why these guys need to really just negotiate what they want and stand firm on it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to stick me in a position where there is no growth and there's very little potential growth, why can't I come in and say, I want the maximum amount of what the pay is? And then also, too, if I'm going to be with you for another few years, I need to get the maximum amount of what the next raise is and so on and so forth.
That's the reason why a lot of maintenance tech move around from one property to the next.
Yeah.
Getting towards the maximum that they want to, right? So in order for them to get to the maximum pay that they're looking for, they have to move around, shop themselves around different properties. Okay, I stay here for 6 months. Another property is paying a dollar more. Mm-hmm. Let me go there.
Okay.
Then I stay there for another 6 months. Another property is paying, let's say, $1.50. Oh, that sounds great. I'll go over there. And you're just shopping yourself around in a hamster's wheel, doing the same thing as a maintenance technician or a supervisor. Because the regional maintenance manager, you have to wait for years until that person retire, or God forbid, something happened to that person. And if something happens and the position is open, they're like hundreds of guys that's already ahead of you in line. So by the time you get there,
you won't be.
You'll never get there, bro.
All right. Let's talk about bonuses. Like, what can they give us on bonuses to supplement the loss of income growth?
This goes back to episode 4. Free rent.
Always.
Free rent and maximum pay. If the pay, so for maintenance technician, you know, every apartment website, the job website, they post the amount. Like, we start between 18 and 25.
Right.
For maintenance technician, it shouldn't be from 18 to 25. It should be 25.
Yeah.
Pay the max, because the reason why I say pay the max, because there is the path for career growth is not there. Mm-hmm. The opportunity is not there for the maintenance technician as it is for a leasing agent, right?
Right.
So I say higher pay and free rent. Can't believe you're talking about episode 4 and 5.
Exactly, already. But like I said, we got to call it out, man. And sometimes, you know, it feels like we always, like you said, we're always treated as less than. Like, we're always at the bottom of the totem pole. And I think that's not fair. And because, like we said before, maintenance feels like we have to feel like a human being.
Yeah.
And we always treat it like we're just a piece of equipment that can, or a machine that can just say, hey, maintenance, do this. I don't like that. I really don't. And I think it's something that needs to be addressed and it needs to be changed.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, and I don't like it either. So with that said, how can we fix this? What can companies and techs do to further advance their career path?
Start with structure, mm-hmm. respect, and real mm-hmm. opportunity. In a formal career ladder. You know, like we said earlier, you know, your steps, because I work for a company that had a quote unquote assistant maintenance supervisor.
Yeah.
Which was technically a tech and training of a supervisor. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they would still give you that assistant supervisor, but he would still be quote unquote the tech. So now it's just you two at the property.
Right.
Why is it on the property that you have supervisor and a maintenance tech and y'all are two running a property, but he's an assistant? Like, isn't there supposed to be another tech underneath that that's supposed to, you know, help that chain of command go smoothly from tech to assistant to supervisor?
Yeah, it should. Honestly, I was just thinking about it while you were making that point. Mm-hmm. The groundskeeper position is slowly fading out.
Yeah.
It's phasing because a lot of properties now don't have groundskeeper anymore. Mm-hmm. You have maintenance technicians doing the groundskeeper job.
Yeah.
So bring the groundskeeper position back fully, right? So you have your groundskeeper, then you can, you know, get promoted to a make ready technician.
Right.
From a make ready technician, you can get promoted to a maintenance technician one, mm-hmm. technician two, which is the assistant supervisor. Mm-hmm. And then you can climb from there to supervisor. Then from supervisor, you go to assistant regional property.
Right.
So now you're opening up doors of opportunities.
Okay.
That each person in the maintenance sector have a chance to climb.
So even if you're having these roles and you're climbing these positions, what let's talk about like also the skill set. Uh-huh. So about getting companies to maybe sponsor certifications. Like, in my opinion, I think like another way in order to really make some money, they should have like guys come in and get an electrical license or get an actual plumbing license to actually become specialists. So that way, if something does happen on a site or a different property, there's no need now to call a plumber. Now you can call the specialist that you actually got certified that can get paid. So now you got guys that maybe can climb the ladder to say, hey, I want to become a specialist in this. Mm-hmm. So that way, if I need to go to any other properties, I can go and help resolve those situations that they have. I think that's a really good program for companies to have in order to make us, you know, have a better skill set and also give us a way to make more money.
That's a great point because mm-hmm. in the apartment industry, maintenance technicians are considered as a jack of all trade, master of none.
Right.
Now companies start offering CPO certification. Mm-hmm. Some offer HVAC certification, right?
Right.
Because in order for you to get into the industry, the main certification one should have is the HVAC, the right. EPA, right? Mm-hmm. The CPO, that's secondary.
Right.
But all of the other things that we do, like plumbing, electrical, because we are literally a jack of all trade group, master mm-hmm. of two. because we only have two certificates, right?
Facts, facts.
Why not open up the path to help advance the skills mm-hmm. of your techs?
Right.
You know, because if electrical is involved and plumbing is involved, mm-hmm. at least create programs where they can take and they can have the certification for that. Because what if you have the wrong person pretending that they know something about electrical and fix something that was in code and you take it out of code?
Right.
Then you're creating a massive lawsuit for the company itself.
That is true.
For the individual itself. So why not create opportunities where you provide certification mm-hmm. in every facet of the job description of the maintenance technician?
So even with doing that, like mm-hmm. that's another form of like career growth and having a formal path that you can, you know, lead to. What do you think about having mentorship programs? Like, is there even room for a mentorship program in maintenance unless that person is certified on a specific skill. Would that be plausible or like right now, let's say like if you was to go to work tomorrow and they came to you and said, hey, we're opening up a mentorship program. This guy's going to follow you around. Does that even look like a mentorship?
No.
Why not?
No. I think one thing they can do because, and this is for every apartment company, right?
Right.
One thing they can do for techs is create a retreat. Create a retreat.
Oh.
And have professionals in every field at that retreat mm-hmm. and have seminars teaching the technicians on how to be a better plumber, a better electrician.
Yeah.
Right? A better appliance technician.
So how does that, okay, so I like the idea,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm trying to figure out how does that work? Because, you know, they don't like to see maintenance gone for 2 hours. You know what I'm saying? So if they were to create something like that, how would it look with a property that has maybe two or three guys and all your techs want to go to that retreat because they want to, you know, feel like they're gaining some sort of knowledge and being a part of something that can lead to potential growth. Like, do you have that person go for the first, one person go for the first year, then the mm-hmm. next person's going for the next year? Like, mm-hmm. wouldn't that be like, I think it's kind of jacked up.
Yeah, but this is the easy fix to it, right?
All right.
We have, let's say we have a major holiday.
Mm-hmm.
They will shut everything down for that holiday, right?
Right.
And then everybody go back to work the next day.
Yeah.
So if they can do it for holidays, they can do it for techs. Cut work from Monday through Thursday. Say, hey, the office or the maintenance techs will be out on this day, Friday. So you have the retreat from Friday
mm-hmm.
to Sunday.
Right.
And then everybody come back to work.
Okay.
On Monday.
So that still leaves like for, but if your techs are gone, guess who's on call? Like always. Supervisor still got to work his behind off. See?
So that is very tricky. So with that, it has to be the only way
mm-hmm.
that can happen. It has to be a major emergency and do not have the supervisor there. Have an outside vendor with the mm-hmm. certification and with the skills required to answer the call.
You know how much that's going to cost?
Do you know how much it costs?
We're talking about bottom line for these companies. So
yeah.
they're always talking about what they're making on, what they need to make,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to lose no money. To even bring somebody in, you know how much that would cost? You have an idea.
Yeah.
That'll never happen.
Do you know how much more it would cost if you have somebody there with just two certifications doing things that requires certification in every...
You save more in the long run.
Yeah, you're saving in the long run. That person can have the knowledge in plumbing and the knowledge in electrical work, but there at some point, you will come to a crossroad where you really don't know something, and sometimes Google cannot help you at that time, right?
Right.
And you can be a guesstimator, and I think it's this. You can cause a whole fire. Then what?
But these multifamily companies, they don't care about, like, you know, the longevity, or they don't project what the future would look like
uh-huh.
if they were to invest in their guys and their training and stuff like that. They only care about what they need right now, right here. That's it. And they on top of that, bro, like they don't even care to even think about like where you're going to be in like the next 5 years on yeah. your career growth.
Yeah.
They just want you at whatever property that they've just acquired, that they just built, that they're just opening, to make sure they got a body in place so that way stuff can get fixed and people can call whoever's on call.
So what they need to adapt
mm-hmm.
is they used to go by the standard, but the larger they become, they just start reversing
mm-hmm.
reversing the core value
right.
of the why, mm-hmm. right? So now it is, first it used to be people over profit. Now
right.
it's profit over people. Because now it's not just you, it is you plus shareholders, investors, mm-hmm. and all these other people that you're trying to please versus the people with the skill required that you can invest in them and they can make your company grow and take you to higher heights.
Okay. So how do we advocate for ourselves professionally then? Like, how do we go to these companies and voice our opinions? Like, how does it start? How do we get the attention of these companies so that way they can understand what we need professionally as you know, students of the game or professionals of a path to growth?
So I'll say this. To all company owners, if you really care about the maintenance technician and you really care about their career longevity in your company, mm-hmm. take some time out to personally reach out to them by email and hold a forum where all the owners will be there and all the techs will be there, yeah. and have open dialogue. Ask questions, what can we do to make your life better, mm-hmm. serving us and fulfilling the goals that we have in mind for our company? That is a great start. That's a great start.
But they kind of do that though with these surveys already.
No, forget the surveys. Okay, do it in person.
Okay. So you're saying they should like, you know, have like, let's say like a luncheon or a breakfast or something where they can all get together and kind of say, all right, we want to hear from our techs and we want to hear honest opinions about what we need or about what you guys need to have a better quality of life and how you guys can make more mm-hmm. money or what we can do to help you guys make more money. So I think that's a good idea.
If you can't make it in person, there's Zoom.
Yeah.
You can have everybody on Zoom and you can have a question and answer segment.
Right.
And after it's over, mm-hmm. follow up with the text with an email. Hey, we've heard your grievances.
Yeah.
And here is a plan that we're working on to answer the questions that you have. And so we can make your lives better.
Right.
And in return, it makes our lives better as well.
Cool. And I think honestly, like that would be good. And then if companies can invest in you and get you these certifications, Even like, I think sometimes they don't want to do it because they know like you can get certified on something and then leave and go on a different path somewhere else. But you know, if I'm here and I'm doing this for you, I think it's important for you to help me grow because I'm working for you and I'm giving you my best foot forward 100% and I'm helping this company grow because time and time again, we always hear, we wouldn't be able to accomplish this much without you.
Right.
So I think it's important that they need to understand that, like, pour into us because we definitely pour into our jobs and we pour into these companies to kind of help them grow as well.
Or what they can do too is like, hey, we will give you these certifications and here we will increase your pay mm-hmm. with the certification that we give you because now you have the certification. You just add more value to yourself. You can leave that company and go and get a job as an electrician. Mm-hmm. And you have 5 certificates on the shelf.
Right.
But as an electrician, you can make twice as much as you make as a maintenance technician. Mm-hmm. So say, like, okay, here's what we can do for you. We can offer you the certification, give you the pay that you deserve.
Right.
And in terms you give us, you work for us, let's say for 2 years mm-hmm. or whatever it is, nothing extensive.
Yeah.
But, you know, give a little, take a little.
Gotcha. Just to keep
a little bartering, you know,
just to keep them in, just to see how that goes. And then from there, they can kind of figure it out and say, hey, we can invest more into our guys by doing this because now it's working.
Yes,
and
sir.
We got issues on properties that are, you know. Okay. Well, yes, at the end of the day, it's not about one role being better. It's about every role getting the respect and opportunity it deserves.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And I've said this from the first episode, and I'll say it every time. We are all in this together, mm-hmm. and we all need improving.
Yeah.
We all need to improve in some area of our lives, right?
Right.
Whether it's personal or professional. Mm. And in order for us to improve, we should have conversations, should have open dialogue. We must be willing to accept critical feedback.
Right.
Hey, what can I do to be better? Mm-hmm. And companies should ask, what can we offer to make you better? Because if there's one company that is now willing to invest mm-hmm. in their employee,
right,
then there are other companies out there that really do care about their employees and will do what they can that's necessary for the growth of that employee
yeah.
to have a long-term relationship with that employee and to keep the retention rate, as we mentioned in the last episode.
Well said.
Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to thank you for the great conversation. Want everybody to share this episode, of course. And also, too, like Mike said, you know, we all need to grow, of course.
We do.
And I'm going to always say it, guys, you got the power in your hands. Without you, nothing moves. So that's it. That's all I want to say.
Know your worth. Know who you are. Know whose you are.
That's it. Follow us on social media and catch us on all podcast platforms. Once again, we want to welcome you guys to the Maintenance Diaries and thank you for being a part of this journey with us. And with each episode, the dialogue gets better and it's going to get more into things that we need to advocate more for what maintenance guys need in this career.
Oh, one more thing. Don't forget to leave a comment on our YouTube channel mm-hmm. or send us a DM on social media with questions that you have or things that you would like for us to talk about that would help you as well in your journey in the apartment industry. So please don't be afraid to reach out to us. We'll get back to you. We'll answer your questions
because
we are in this together. We are doing this for you. We are doing this for all of us. And shout out to us for having a short episode.
Let's go.